forum for frank talk about what people do for a living. Works Do.
Hello and welcome to Works Do. It's January 16th, 2014, and this is episode number 75. I'm Kate Gace Walton. I'm the editor of Works Do, an online collection of essays and interviews in which people ponder their work lives. In this episode, I speak with Tim Pratt. I was told only that Tim went from Goldman Sachs to the NFL, and I wanted to know how and why. Here's the interview. So I'm speaking this evening with Tim Pratt, and thank you, Tim, for taking the time to talk to me.
Sure. It's my pleasure to talk with you.
So usually I'll admit I come at these interviews having researched someone. I know where they work. I have some idea of their career path. In your case, I connected with you because a mutual friend of ours suggested we talk, and she gave me the tantalizing morsel that you went from Goldman Sachs to the NFL, and that rather than research it, I should just hear that story myself. So maybe you can start with that. How did that happen?
Yeah, sure. I'll kind of fill you in on that that story. Interestingly enough, and it kind of jumps midway into my career, was immediately after getting my MBA out of business school, I went to Goldman Sachs and went into Wall Street, and where I really felt like that's where I wanted to be. That was my skill set, and I felt like I had this entrepreneurial spirit, and Goldman gave me the ability to utilize my financial skill set by also being able to build my own business with the security of still being under the umbrella of Goldman Sachs and not have to deal with some of the hazards that comes along with being an entrepreneur and your own business owner. So I worked in the asset management group in retail private wealth management. So once I had done that for a while, I had a few of my clients that were athletes, and they, you know, were telling me along the way is that while playing in the NFL, they weren't given the tools to kind of manage this newfound wealth that they had. You know, they had played football their entire careers, their whole lives, and then all of a sudden they go from being an undergrad where everything is taken care of for you to going into the NFL having large amounts of disposable cash, but no skill set in terms of being able to manage that themselves. And, you know, while the NFL would try to do some of these things on their own to help these players, there was really nothing for them to do. So that first sparked my interest. And then I found out through another friend that there was an opportunity where I would be able to go to the NFL and sort of help in developing this financial literacy and financial education program for all of the players in the National Football League. And I jumped at the opportunity and went, and that's how I kind of went from Goldman Sachs to the National Football League.
It's interesting to me that those services would be provided, and I imagine they're quite necessary, because one stat that I remember reading not so long ago was that the actual time spent in the NFL for most players is quite short. Am I right that it's about 3 years, or am I getting that?
And one of the things that I would always tell players is that you're going to, you know, it's a blessing and a privilege to be a professional athlete. But the one thing that I would always tell them is that you're going to be a former player much longer than you're going to be a player. And in actuality, the average life or career of a player is about 3.5 years. So if you've crossed that 3.5 year threshold, you've had a pretty stellar career. And it actually takes you 5 years to be vested and be eligible for retirement funds. So it's actually, you know, not likely that most players will get that because, you know, they're out of the league within 3.5 years.
Right.
So it is kind of interesting.
And, you know, we hear, because one always hears about the extremes, I suppose, about some really, really high salaries and large contracts. But When most players retire, are they set for life, or are most of them, in fact, looking at many, many years of work in some other field to make a living?
Yeah, so, you know, the Peyton Mannings, the Ray Lewis's, the Drew Brees's, those guys, they are they're far and few between. You do have some of those players that have these exorbitant contracts, and even some players that are first-round draft picks that have this guaranteed money. For the most part, you go into the league, it sounds very good. To the average American, you know, if you hear that the league minimum is $285,000 a year, the average American will say that you must be set for life. It just doesn't work that way. It's like some of the other professional sports, like basketball or baseball. Those contracts are guaranteed. In the National Football League, those contracts aren't guaranteed. So you're constantly fighting to make sure that you remain on the roster to get to the point where you can collect all that money. And then even if you do, you have to understand that you're only going to be making that money for 3.5 years on average. So after the 3.5 years, you're done, and you're probably 25 years old. So you have a long time to go, and if you don't have, for a lot of folks who don't have their degree, and they don't have another skill set that they've developed, they can find themselves in some challenging times. So that's why, even through the player development program, they would encourage players to go back to get their degree, do internships. There are a lot of different ways to kind of help them prepare for life after football.
Right. And are there any patterns that emerged as you worked with players and perhaps as you followed what they went on to? What do a lot of players go on to do after they leave the league?
Well, the challenge is obviously the things that a lot of them try to do, the things that they've known for the most of their life. They try to stay connected to football somehow, either if that's through coaching or going back onto campus, coaching there, or trying to get into communications, being one of the sportscasters or something like that. That's what a lot of them try to do. But ultimately, a lot of them fall back onto going back to school. A good number of them do. And a lot of them go into financial services. The ones that are successful, they tend to find areas that creates the environment of being on a team again. And you can find that a lot in financial services.
Right. And so how did you personally find that work to be? Was it satisfying? Are you yourself an athlete?
Yeah, so I am an athlete. I never played professional football, but I felt it rewarding because even when I was leaving business school, I always felt like I wanted to have an impact on the community at large and be able to really make a difference. You know, now while I was at Goldman Sachs, I felt like I was doing that, but it was more so in the context that I was making a lot of really wealthy people just that much more wealthy. And I found myself really gravitating towards where I was really teaching people and educating them on how to make more sound decisions. So then once I got to the NFL and working with them, it was really, really rewarding. The challenge that I found was the people that were taking advantage of the services that I was offering were the folks that were going to be okay anyway. It was, the guys that are in the league that, came from Notre Dame or came from Stanford or came from Yale. You know, these guys that were really smart and thoughtful understood that being in the NFL was a real blessing and just took advantage of every single opportunity that was made available to them. The folks that really needed that help, those high draft picks, that came out of school in after their sophomore year or midway through their junior year, those folks that were surrounded by agents and a bunch of advisors, people that were outsourcing decisions, those were the folks that really needed to take advantage of the services, and it was a challenge to get them to do so. And understandably, because they were focusing most of their time on football and either making a team or being able to contribute to the team in a meaningful way so that they can go and get that second contract. that's the thing that, you know, a lot of players are always fighting for. You know, the first contract is fine, but the second contract they feel is the one that's really going to take them to another level. And that was the challenge, because you have to understand is that, you know, the head coaches, they're in a position of trying to win football games. So the last thing that they're really focusing on is trying to take players away from football so that they can go learn about their personal finances. You know, those goals aren't aligned, so it became challenging to try to get that done. So.
Yeah, and I know I need to let you go, but that's actually an issue that just really fascinates me, and I don't know if you are in a position to be able to talk to it, but if you are, I'd love to get your sense on to what extent you feel the players are, you know, sort of taken care of by the organization, and I, you know, this is a broader issue throughout sports, the organizations that profit from them. How do you think of that balance? Is it okay? Is there a lot of room for improvement there?
Well, I think there's always room for improvement, but I will say that Roger Goodell, Troy Vincent, who's the new head of the player development department, I think that they've really done some things to make sure that the players are getting access to not just making things available to them, but I know that there are some at one point that there was a mandate by, you know, Roger Goodell mandated that rookies had to go through X number of hours of financial literacy and financial education, and that the coaches had to allow players to sit through X number of hours to make sure that they're getting some of the enrichment programs that would help them further and beyond, you know, playing in the league. So there are some things that are being done. There's always room for more, and I think that the players' union focuses on some of that as well, because no one wants to hear some of these horror stories, these guys that seemingly had it so good, you know, 5 years down the line, you know, they're struggling to pay, you know, well, remedial bills. And it's just, you know, it's sometimes it's a sad story when they seem to have, you know, the world is their oyster, but, you know, they run into hard times. So there are some things that are some really good things that are being done to try to help those folks out.
Got it. And I'll end with the obvious question, which is, who are you pulling for as we head towards the Super Bowl?
Well, my Giants, and they're out of it, so I'm just sitting back and watching the game.
We can pull you over to the Seahawks then, right?
That would be a challenge. That would really be a challenge. I would say my fraternity brother happens to be the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, so I've got some allegiance there. Because I root for the Jets on occasion, and I can't root for the Patriots, so
so it's by elimination, I guess.
I'm a man with no country right now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Sure, anytime. I really, really appreciate it, and it was a great time.
That wraps up the interview for today. Thanks again very much to my guest, Tim Pratt. Thanks also to everyone who's written an essay for WorkStew. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening today. The next episode will be released in 2 weeks, and I hope you'll check it out. In the meantime, please let me know what you thought of the interview by posting a comment on the WorkStew website or by writing a review for iTunes. Thanks again, and bye for now.